Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome back to another episode of Rock That Relationship. This season is all about soulmates and soul circles and soul connections and all sorts of things soul related. And today we are actually exploring this idea of compatibility, particularly using human design. And we are so lucky to have on Kristen Alvarez today, who's a guide and coach and just a curious person, deeply fascinated by human design, who's here to share all sorts of wisdom, because I have no idea really what all this stuff is. And so I'm looking to Kristen to fill us in and hope that all of our listeners out there, that you enjoy this episode as much as we know we will. So Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me to this conversation. I'm really excited and I can't wait to see what unfolds.
Excellent. Us too. So maybe you could start by just telling us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in the work you do, particularly around the human design work.
Well, and tell us, sure, what is human design? Because all I'm thinking is AI, and I just watched some crazy AI movies. So, or movies about AI taking over. So what is human design?
I am going to start with my journey and end with what is human design, because I think that would be the best way to present it. So I started my undergraduate, journey studying psychology. And I think, I've always been just deeply fascinated by people, by relationships, by emotions. So psychology was a natural place for me to gravitate towards. And then through there, you have different paths that you can take if you go down there, down that path. And I kind of went a social work path and worked with kids and their families, and as a direct care person. And I learned so much about, family dynamics, relationship dynamics, and how people function, and taking all these different terms and ideas and systems, and then seeing it come to life in people. And then when it came time to work to, what am I doing? Do I want to move forward with my education? I decided I did. And I felt like everybody around me that was kind of in doing this similar work was pursuing an MSW. And it's a great degree. As I started to kind of go understand that a little bit more and what that would look like, that degree is very steeped in the medical model, as is psychology. And that's just something that I couldn't really get behind for my own personal practice. It's not that I view that as wrong or incorrect or, not helpful. It just felt like there was something missing for me. It felt like there was something more, something deeper, that, there was a missing piece. And then fast forward, I worked in social work, and direct care and, meeting high conflict, meeting facilitation. And then I pivoted because I was just burnt out, to be honest. It's easy to do in that field. And so I pivoted, to business. And, after I got my master's in, sorry, I skipped this part. I decided to get my master's in human services. And the reason I chose that is because it was a very holistic program. It looked at people in their environment based on their life experiences. And it didn't try to diagnose them. And it didn't put them, in a room per se for therapy where they were kind of in this vacuum. So I really liked that. I liked that it considered the whole person. And so my work really kind of gravitated into that direction. I didn't want to do therapy. I didn't want to diagnose people. I wanted to help people. I wanted to help facilitate healthier communications. I wanted to help people slow down and process what they were feeling. And I found that facilitating those high conflict meetings was a really good fit for that work. And then, I decided that I wanted to pursue some other stuff. That was a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of deep emotional work. And frankly, I wasn't there yet. I was in my 20s, 30s, and it was all just weaving together. And I was seeing these patterns that I was looking to kind of help explain and understand. And I was working as a chief of staff, and I had a beautiful team. And one day we were sitting and having lunch, and my colleague, Jennifer, who's become a very close friend of mine, she says, "Hey, have you heard about human design?" I'm like, "No, I've not heard anything about human design. What is this?" And she says, "You know, well, you know, it's kind of, you know, helps understand people." And I said, "Oh, well, that sounds fascinating." And I looked it up that night, and I have to tell you, that was the beginning of my whole world opening. It was the missing puzzle piece that I had been seeking throughout, you know, my whole life. And so I began this deep journey into, you know, what is human design? Where does it come from? What is it telling you? It's a pretty complex system. It can be. And I'm a person who likes depth. So it doesn't need to be complex to be useful, but it has these layers that, you know, I just love the depth and the complexity of it. But it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't need to be. So basically, think of it like when you buy a piece of equipment, you're going to get a manual, and it's going to tell you how this piece of equipment works. You're probably going to see some type of diagram that shows what nuts and bolts and parts go where. And it's going to tell you, you know, how to maintain it, how to operate it. And you can, you know, tuck that in a drawer somewhere and familiarize yourself with it and pull it out from time to time if you need to. And that's really what human design is for the human, for the person. It is like a blueprint and a guide of, you know, this is how you are structured as a human being in this 3D world. And this is, you know, how you're designed to move through this world. This is how you're designed to make decisions. You know, these are how your thought patterns manifest. And it just goes into just so much depth and nuance. And then that is about the time that AI came on the scene. And very quickly, I started playing with AI and human design. And before, you know, I've looked into it. Nobody was doing that. And, you know, AI was so new. So, you know, I'm training LLMs, and I'm, you know, trying to kind of get the right prompt and to understand the depth and nuance and to make it something that people can use. Because when you have a system like this complex, it's hard to understand it in real time and to draw examples in real time. But if you're having a conversation with this tool and it's trained on human design and your specific design, then, you know, you're getting a real-time coach with you all the time to help you process life. And it's teaching you about your own design and mechanics as you're doing that. So that was a very long, winding answer to get to who I am and what human design is.
That's very cool. Like, okay, so say someone who doesn't know anything about human design and I come to you and I want to do a human design, like how do you figure out what my design is? And then how do you use AI to help coach me? Like, what does that actually look like?
Great question. It's very simple to get your human design. What I need is just your birth information. So your day, time, and location of your birth. That's it.
And do you plug it into a system or something? Or like, is there like a program you put it in and it
pops out? There is. There are several programs on the market that will do that. I have been developing and building one of my own. It's called Duolova.ai. And what you get is a body graph, which, you know, we would have to look at one to make sense, but it's pretty much a person's body, say from the waist up. So it's a head and a trunk. And within those areas, you have centers, that mean different things and express different ways. And that's really the foundation of the system, are those centers in the human body, so that you can understand kind of what your wiring looks like. And it can all, you know, that can be overwhelming to so many people, which is one of the reasons, honestly, that I think human design hasn't reached as many people as it will. I think AI is going to open up a lot of doors, because it's taking this complex system where people might look at it and say, what? And like, how do you put all this together? And then, you know, translating it in real time for people, I think, is a real game changer.
Well, so, I just did it while you were talking for myself. Awesome. Like, because I was like, okay, what does this mean? So it came up with like a bunch of numbers and a bunch of things, like here's my body, and then it's showing this. And it says I'm a manifesting generator. And so I've been told that before by, I think, our astrologer and maybe somebody else, and then very magnetic. Okay. I can't accomplish anything. I accomplished nothing. I like am like a whirling dervish in the world. Like, I cannot.
You
I
move fast.
Yes.
You move and I fast. You skip yeah. steps. And yes. you're just responding to life. Sometimes you might miss something and you might have to go back and redo it because you missed the step.
Yep.
But sometimes it works out and you don't have to.
Yep.
Yes. It's all haphazard. It's all chaos. And, you know, it's weird because I was a cop and a lawyer. And it's like those things serve me well in a certain way. But I'm like completely not. That's just not my thing. Like, I'm really like a whirling dervish. And so I'll go around and tell people, and I was doing this for years as a cop, you should do this, you should do that. And then those people go on and they are successful in what I told them to do. But then I look at myself and I'm like, whatever. I just like, I have no grounding. So I think when you said, like, to me, when you said, oh, it's like a manual, you know, you buy a product and here's a manual. My old police partner used to say, Ian, what's your problem? You never read the instructions. That's what's wrong with you. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And every time I open something that I purchase, I don't even look at the instructions first. I just try to do it myself. And then I half the time break it, or like, all right, I'm like, oh, I better stop myself and get a YouTube video on this. I just did this with some car parts. And like, that's, I think, what we're missing, because I'm like, oh, human design, it's going to turn us into robots. But really what it's saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, this is how you could best utilize your gifts, like recognize your gifts and utilize them, because I'm not the only one floundering.
That's the most beautiful thing about it. And I think that culturally we seem to look at people that are different, or that don't, you know, go a certain way or function a certain way, as there's this something wrong with them. And I'll take that back, you know, to psychology and social work, and that it's the diagnosing people and like looking at what is wrong.
Right.
And human design doesn't do that. And I love that, because it reframes things that are beautiful gifts.
Right.
And if you can shift the way you think about it, then your whole world can open and you see yourself in a very different light. You can start to see these attributes that our society or your parents or your whoever made you feel like were detriments to you. You can
right.
start to see them as real gifts and assets and start to work with that energy. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about the system and how AI can help make that shift in real time conversations.
Yeah. I mean, traditional psychoanalysis had me as a problematic person and being like, you know, you need to fix yourself. And my own mother, when I married a psychoanalyst, and then my mother's like, oh, good. Maybe she can figure out what's wrong with you. And, you know, that's a lifetime of being a person born in 1970. So growing up in the 70s with ADHD, being a person who really is more of, I don't care. I don't want to follow through. I don't care. I don't care about your project. I don't care. All I want to do is swirl, you know, literally go around and like name things and do things and then move on.
And that's how you're designed. That's
right.
That's the beauty in how you're designed as a manifesting generator. You're here to respond. You're here to respond what is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to move fast, to skip steps, to change directions. That's all a part of how you're wired. And if you can really start to see the beauty in that and accept and love yourself for those qualities and characteristics, your whole life can change. Now, right. What you're talking about, what you just shared, is what we refer to as conditioning. Mm-hmm. And if we looked at your chart, the shapes that are white, those are the areas that you have the most learning to do, the most lessons to do. And that's where you're most open to conditioning. So conditioning is society, parents, friends, everybody telling you who you are, or
right.
how what you are isn't the right thing. And, you know, once you can really start to dial that in and more and deeply understand, you know, how you're conditioned and what is your true authentic expression, and you can start to lean into that without apology, I think that just opens everyone up to just a lot of growth, a lot of opportunity, a lot of peace within. Mm-hmm.
Well, when, just when in you your can 5 really minutes
start
here.
To love yourself. Right.
Yeah, like right. Just in your 5 minutes here, like this is truly, and like just looking at that right now, like is making me, it's barely anybody has ever understood me, right? Only now my wife like actually gets me and appreciates me, but the other people, the other person I married did not. She just did not like me. Like she could not stand me. And, you know, she was deeply entrenched in psychoanalysis and all that. And I think it just, I was so triggering in so many ways and like offensive. I just felt that I was an offensive being, right? But that never affected me because I don't care. Like think what you want to think. But I have been like just literally like floundering in career wise and all this. And, you know, that, so just in 5 minutes, look what you've done. This is going to revolutionize my life. And allow me to be the person I want to be. I'm very, right. It's very interesting because Corey and I have like the same astrological chart, so much that our astrologer was like, oh, I don't know who's who, but we are so different in real life. Right. Yeah. And so,
oh my gosh. And that's the really incredible thing. And you'll have to hold me on the edge here from going too deep, but that's the beautiful thing. You can have the same placement, but it's going to be different. Because mm-hmm. in human design, you've got 5 layers of depth per planetary placement. And so that means that there's all these layers. You might have this one in common, but not any of the other 4. And how it expresses within you is going to be very different, very unique. And it's also going to be based on, you know, free will, your choices. It's going to be based on your culture, the family you were born into, mm-hmm. what your life was, what experiences mm-hmm. you had, how you had the people around you, either supporting you or not supporting you. So there are no people, not even twins, that are exactly alike or that process life.
Well, exactly I was going to ask you that way. Because I'm a generator, not a pure generator. I'm not a manifesting generator. And you know,
you are a pure generator then, if you're a generator.
Pure generator. Okay, yeah. And so, yeah. Like the things I read about it or, you know, or I've seen about it are relatively similar to what Tracy's talking about, magnetism and how needing a calling to do it. But like, we couldn't be more different. And so right. Those layers you're talking about are really interesting because we show up in this world so vastly different that sometimes we just don't understand each other. But we, for whatever reason, we kind of complement each other.
Sure. And you could look at your charts side by side and, you know, then that's where the fun comes in. Cause then you can see, you know, where your energies connect, and what you're bringing to each other. And the other, and that's one really, truly beautiful part is that you can look at your connection with others in such a visual way and you can start to understand. I mean, we all walk into a room or have experiences in life where we feel really drawn to people. We can't understand it, or opposite, really repelled. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't know why I cannot mm-hmm. get into that person. And human design will show you those areas. But the thing that I love the most about it is that it does it in a way, and the tools that I've built do it in a way. This is non-judgmental. You know, nobody's being blamed here. Nobody is wrong. Nobody is right. We're just looking at differences and how our energy right. comes together and how that feels and why it feels that way. It starts to put language into the things that we always feel, we always know to be true, but we just don't have a language and we don't have a system. And so it's hard to talk about and it's hard to really understand and it's hard to know what it means. And, you know, I think language is just so important I was listening to Brené Brown speak, and one of the most impactful things that she said that has stuck with me is just, you know, how we have a very small set of words to describe our emotions. And really, those words need to be expanded, and they're vast. And that by improperly naming an emotion, you know, labeling it with a word, can actually be damaging in a way, because you're putting that word onto that emotion, even if it's not the right fit. And I look at human design very much that way. You know, we're looking at these parts of us, and if we can't understand them in the way that's most helpful to us and our evolution, then it can kind of hurt us. And I think, Tracy, that's really what you've been talking about in your experience, is that you didn't have the right words or the right language. But if you could find that and really understand what sets you apart or makes you unique, which we all are, it's just very helpful to your own individual evolution.
Right. And using those particular gifts, right, rather than so many people, not just me, but putting to try to stuff yourself into the wrong box, right? And it's interesting because I have a picture of me as a child, and I'm literally an infant in a box, like one of those plastic, I don't know why they played with those in the 70s. And why someone would have taken a picture, but I was like stuck in the box, and I was like yelling, but everyone there in my Christmas dress when I was like 1 year old, and everyone took that picture. And I think of that often, which is like, I don't remember it, but I know the picture. And it's like, there I was stuck in a box. And then growing up
at one.
And then growing up as a lesbian in the 1970s, 80s, and then, you know, Midwest, and, you know, like this is the kind of life you're supposed to have. And it never worked. It never fit. And I feel like I've been screaming. I mean, I just told Corey the other day, I'm a lawyer. I hate being a lawyer. Yes, I want to do help people. So I just started this business where I'm just advising people. But when I actually represent people, it's like, I hate my life so much. I thought I was going to have a heart attack last year. I thought my head was going to explode. And I love the firm that I work for. I liked, you know, some of that work, but I hated being what I was kind of like told to be. And, you know,
that's really interesting. And if we pause for a moment and look at just how you've talked about that, like as a manifesting generator, you are here to respond, you know, and then your guidepost to know if you're on the right path is satisfaction or frustration. So the things that you respond to that bring you satisfaction are correct for you. The things that bring you frustration are things that maybe you should look at. And, you know, I've had times like that in my life where it's like, I don't even want to respond to this. I'm frustrated by it. And I know that it's not for me anymore. And it may have been for me at a place in my life, but it's not for me any longer. And that is, you know, a sign that, hey, it's time for me to shift away from this. This is no longer a part of me that I care to have be a part of me. And you can release those things, and you can welcome in new qualities. And you know, you may have moved on to responding to something that really lights you up. And then you just feel this life force pulling you towards down this path. And you're just being led and guided down, and you don't even know why, but that's the beauty of your design, is you follow that thing that makes you feel open, that makes you feel excited, that thing that gives you the most energy. And those are the things that correct for you. And you're often not going to understand why it's correct for you until you do it. You know, like, great example, you get invited to do things all the time. You know, you have choices all the time of things to respond to. Hey, do you want to go to a concert? Hey, do you want to go grab a bite to eat? Hey, do you want to go do this talk? And some things you're like, no, I really don't. And you either honor that or you don't. Or you say, yeah, man, I really want to do that. And you may even be confused as to why you want to do that. But there's always going to be, it's like the next breadcrumb on the trail. You don't know who you're going to meet when you go do that thing that lit you up. And when you start to trust yourself, and when you start to allow yourself to recognize and give voice and meaning and space to those reactions within you, then life really just becomes a lot more fun.
Well, Corey, go ahead. Oh, you're muted.
You're muted.
Yeah, I said, just go ahead and ask your clarifying question. I have a question that's related to like a bigger picture of this, of human design that I want to get in and make sure that I get asked.
Well, now I've forgotten what it was. So go
oh
ahead.
My gosh. You have to wait to respond for the question to come back and circle back around, whereas it'll mine will be in my head all day. Well, let me just ask you then while I've got the floor here, Kristen, is so, you know, you're talking about human design and like, you know, it's sort of affirms kind of who we are and how we show up in the world and that it's unique to each of us and that we can learn a lot about ourselves and create some self-forgiveness. It sounds like those kinds of things. And then we talked a little bit about how Tracy and I are so very different. Probably very, very well spoken in our comparison of our human design plans. But like, can you use this tool beyond self-awareness? Can you use this tool to be able to look at like my partner and I, are we compatible or are we not compatible, but where are our strengths and where are the areas that we need to sort of look and be just more aware of how we show up for each other?
Absolutely. 1,000%. My work, it has definitely taken me down that path very early. I will say, with the caveat, it's very helpful to understand yourself and to start this journey, you know, as individual self-exploration before, you know, if you really want to use it as a tool of understanding your partner as well. I think it's important to have a level of self-understanding first or be doing that simultaneously. But yes, the tools that I've created, you know, using human design and AI really help you understand. So you can see if this connection, there are many meaningful connections. You can have chemistry that is, you know, activating. You have alignment, which is sustainable. And, you know, not every connection is meant to last. Each has a theme or a lesson, and human design can really illuminate what those lessons are and help us understand what this connection means. What am I meant to explore through this connection? What are some of the themes and the lessons that I'm going to learn through this connection?
I remembered my question. Do you want to follow up first, Corey?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to ask a real quick question to follow up that. So like when you say it can tell you like some of our connections aren't meant to last. So if you do this with your partner, you kind of run the risk of it saying like, you got 6 years, people. Like, I mean,
you know, the beautiful thing and oh gosh, I love one of the things that I'm working on is letting my own journey unfold and not needing to define or understand all of the dynamics of it. That part of the beauty is letting it unfold. And I will tell you that, you know, we can see where you have compatibility and where there's choice and where you guys might have different struggles, where there's going to be friction. But ultimately it's all about free choice. You know, you can look at these things and these dynamics with your eyes wide open. And in the next breath, look at your partner and say, I'm committed to learn to understanding myself and you, and I'm committed to this relationship. And if two people are coming from that space, if they're looking for understanding, if they're looking to show up for one another, that's the beautiful thing. Then you kind of have a roadmap of how to do it. But if you're looking for an out, or if you're looking for, you know, an answer of, you know, what does this mean? My systems and most systems are not going to tell you that. They're not. They're going to say, follow, you know, your decision-making plan and let life, you know, lead and guide you where it will. And you have free will. You can choose to exit this dynamic or not. So I think it's a great tool because, you know, as couples, we have these things that come up over and over and, you know, we're trying to understand them and how to work within them and how, you know, how to make both people happy and feel seen. And that's really what it comes down to, is feeling seen by yourself and then your partner feeling seen by you and vice versa.
Okay, this all ties into my thing, which I'm going to talk about career first, and then I think the same applies for relationships. Like, because we talked to another person who, you know, started out as a nurse and then became an energy healer. You started out looking at social work and then went to this, you know, similar but other direction. I cop then lawyer. I don't want those things, even though I loved certain parts of those. And I think the same in relationship. We get relationship after, you know, maybe some person, people have been with the same person since high school, but like most people, relationship, and figure out each time, like, what is it that's working for us in that? Okay, I want to have this in my ultimate. And so I think, like, for me, the way that I'm going to use this human design going forward for my career stuff is similar to what I have done in relationship and now getting to what I feel is the ultimate relationship. And now I'm like, okay, well, I'm good in that place. I know my soul place in the world. I know my soul mate. And now I need my soul purpose. Like, I know my purpose is to guide and help people, but I'm like, I cannot figure out how to do it or to make it work. You know,
I'm going to give you a spoiler alert.
Okay. What? It better be helpful.
As part of the human design system, you are shown your incarnation cross. And that incarnation cross is your life's purpose, mm-hmm. is the work that you're here to do. Now, you have to be very careful on how you unpack that, because we're really programmed to believe that our life purpose, and maybe you don't believe this, what I'm about to say, but that it is going to be something that supports you financially. Mm-hmm. And some of the gifts that we carry and some of the lessons we're here to learn are not about making money, mm-hmm. are not about, you know, an actual job. Yes, everybody has to do that. And there's a complementary system that I use called Gene Keys, which is another conversation. But, and within human design, you can see what your unique skill is that will help you find prosperity and resources in this life. So if you're on track, if you're following that direction, then those resources and that prosperity will come to you. So understanding your incarnation cross and what your soul's journey is here in this lifetime is extremely helpful. Because then you start to look at all of your choices and all of your, you know, where your journey is leading you against this. And, you know, the older you get, you've lived life. So you can sit and you can study your design and your incarnation cross, and you can do kind of like a retrospective, like, okay, I'm at this point in my life and this is what I know so far. And then you can say, oh my gosh, wow, I can really see how that journey has been that theme. And that I feel like, you know, that's very illuminating and it's very helpful, because when you really can start to believe in yourself and your inherent skills and qualities, that's a beautiful thing. When you know that that is something within you, and when you can truly embrace it and be proud of that, and recognize it within yourself. And when you can do that, others will do that for you as well.
Mm-hmm. I think
others do that for you all the time because your energy carries that signature, but being able to see it and identify it is different.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, for Tracy, it's interesting because, you know, we've talked over the years about her feeling a sense of a calling, and I feel a sense of a calling. We both are very, almost in some ways, very clear about what our callings are, but I found
they're very similar,
but I have found a way to connect with my calling in a job and avocationally and recreationally in ways that are very fulfilling. And the frustration point for Tracy has been that how, right? Like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know. Like, nothing I feel like I'm trying on feels like it fills that bucket for me. And so we've had this conversation over and over because the callings are there, right? But
right.
How is it that I have come into a place in which I'm executing my calling. I feel very in alignment. But every time Tracy picks something up, it's like she's like, oh, I'm out of alignment. I'm out of alignment. I'm out of alignment. And so is it, I mean, yeah,
Say something. So like I was a police officer from 1994 to 2002 in Seattle. Okay. I have not gone over that. Like I left because I'm personality wise, like I just did not fit in with the mean culture and it was turning me into a mean person who I did not like. But I loved so many aspects of that job. I loved the people. I loved being out on the street. I like danger. I like putting my life in danger. I love all of that, right? So I left that and I still haven't found anything that's as fulfilling. And then I'm like, oh, am I just looking back at that? And I've toyed with going back many times. I mean, I'm 55 years old now. Like I have stepchildren. I don't want to go back to that. And I think culturally I would not fit in anyway. And so Corey's been trying to help me for years because being around somebody like her, she accomplishes everything, right? I mean, yes, she'll tell you, okay, well, for every one of my successes, there's, you know, this failures or this didn't work out, but it's like, my God, everything that she does succeeds, right? Like,
yeah. I can't tell you because I haven't looked at your charts and I don't know, you know, what I would say, but right. I can share a story about my own personal experience.
Yes.
And so I think that aligns very similarly to, you know, my journey in social work and working with people and being fascination. You have to get down to the kernel of what it is that you loved about that work. At least that's what I had to do. I had to understand. And looking at my design, and you know, like I said, human design, there's so many levels. There's transits, there's time periods in your life where you're going to be looking at certain things where, you know, so it can help you at any age really understand where you are on your trajectory and your journey. I know that I'm not meant to really bloom until after 50. I'm in a very specific phase in my life right now where I'm integrating everything that I've learned and I'm really deciding who I am and how I want to show up in this world for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And that my greatest contributions will be because of the lessons that I've learned and the journey that I've been on and how I synthesize and process that and bring that to the rest of my life after 50. So that helps me. You know, when I learned about that, I was like, deep breath. Okay. So I'm not behind, you know, I know that my design is meant to bloom later. And not everybody is like that. There are people that have very consistent lives. Like they just are attacking life and things are coming together and that's their journey. That's their path. And then you have people that, you know, sometimes it's really hard, you know, early life is really hard. Some people have an easier early life and then their later life gets hard. So, you know, we are all unique and different and it's helpful to compare yourselves to other people in ways and at times, but truly we have to look inward if we really want to understand who we are and what we're here to do. We can't keep benchmarking ourselves on others and we can't keep telling ourselves that we're not enough or we're wrong or broken in some way. We're not. We just haven't found what is us. And when you can strip away all that noise and really start to focus on what is true for you and really start to honor that, then I feel like for me, at least that's where life has really shifted. Once I was clear on who I am and where I'm going and what my soul's journey is, it helps me navigate life from a deeper place where I can trust that, you know, things are unfolding just as they should.
Well, did you feel like a sense of inner peace when you did your human design for the first time? Like, did you feel like, okay, I'm on the right track? Or like, what was that for you when you got your results?
I saw it all. I saw it all. There are things I didn't like that I saw that I learned about called shadow expressions. And I think, you know, Carl Jung introduced us to shadow work. And those are the things that are not easy to see about ourselves. But the beautiful thing is that there is a gift in every shadow. And when you can see, hey, if I do the work and I shift this, this is the expression of that gift, and this is what it could look like. And so many of us want that so badly. We want to not be the things that don't make us feel good. We don't want to be reactive. You know, we want to show up from a better place. And when you can start to see how, because that's where I think we all get lost. We all just are overwhelmed. It's like, how do I shift this? How do I move this for myself? And that's where my work, you know, I love that depth, because I say, let's unpack it. Let's get down and dirty. Let's go through all the onion layers. Let's get to the root cause here. Let's really understand what you need to shift, and let's come up with a strategy to do it, and give you the tools that you need to be successful, and recognize that it is not one size fits all. It is just not. And that's the thing that I love most about what I'm building, is that my tools speak directly to you based on your design. Every single response is going to be different, because it's going to speak to you and present this information to you in a way that resonates with you. And it's looking at your complete design as it's doing it. And so you will really see, you know, how I have shifted and changed and grown and developed my own level of self-awareness has just blown my mind. And the people that are closest to me around me see that shift and see that change. And, you know, they're like, how did you do this? And I said, well, I pretty much hacked the system in some way. To where, you know, I can now deeply look at these things in real time and understand myself better.
Wow. So have you used it in conjunction with anyone else to like look at how you can better connect, or better, even if it's just like, I mean, I know people probably use it with like partners or children or whoever.
Yeah, funny you say that. So I'm currently building all of those things. Duolova is just the surface of what I have been able to formalize. But the work that I'm doing continues. I've built custom tools for my family. So I use this to parent my children, to understand my children better. I use this as a guide. Man, I couldn't have been more off base. I could not have been misinterpreating more.
Tell us more, my son, if you want.
Yeah, my son is wired completely different from me. I don't always understand him, and I'm looking at him from this generator perspective, because I'm a generator. He's a projector type. And the way that our chemistry is, you know, we have a lot of intense connection, and some of it feels great and some of it doesn't. And this tool has helped me better understand him and see him and see the ways that he's responding to me aren't personal.
Mm-hmm.
They're not personal. It's how he is designed. It is how he is wired. Mm-hmm. And I'm misinterpreting him. And he's probably misinterpreting me and his sister, you know. But so I use this tool as a fan. I mean, every single day, every day I'm having, oh my God, can you believe that what he did? And it'll break it down for me. And it'll really help me come from a better place and to process and to deeply understand. And then, yes, in relationships, I have used this in a couple of different relationships. I built one for my mom. My mom and I have one that helps us understand one another. From my past relationship, I looked a lot at that, using this system, and the relationship that I am in right now. We have used this tool from very early on. It's programmed with both of our designs in detail, and we both use it to process our feelings about where we are and to understand one another. And the beauty of it is that it's a great conversation piece. Like, hey, I was working with the tool and, you know, these are the things that we talked about and this is what it says. How does this land for you? Or we can go into a mode where it can actually be like a facilitator in a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listening and guiding both and reframing and helping, you know, this Kristen's feeling this way because this is what she needs to feel good and in connection. And, you know, you're feeling this way because this is what you need. And this is where, you know, you have to really understand each other's needs and how to work within that.
Okay, I've always been saying every couple needs a resident therapist, and even when they're right together, this is so helpful, right? Revolutionary. Like, people do not read each other's minds, and they don't get, they're coming from such different perspectives, right?
Like, and how many times do we misinterpret one another? And it causes so much chaos.
Right.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
And children, there is this perception that children are like yours, that they're, you know what I mean? Like, that, oh, I had them, they're my kids or whatever, that people believe. And it's like, no, this is an independent human being who you need to get and fully understand. And I'm on my second time of being a step parent. So I've never had any of my own children. And I've been with the bio mothers both times, and to see that, like, so interesting, right? Like there are some real similarities, and then there are real differences. And I do think it's the same as being in a relationship with another adult. But I've always explained to children, like, okay, as you age or whatever, you're going to be in a relationship, like, you're taking two fully formed human beings who've had all their past experiences, and now they're going to try and come together and make a life. You know, there's going to be friction. There's going to be things that they have to work through. And the understanding that, like, I always thought, okay, a therapist will help this, but, and I've been using ChatGPT, which is oddly helpful. And I'm always very polite just in case it comes to life. And I'm always pleased and thank you.
And like attack and you in your room.
Me too.
Attack me. It's like, I know. I'm like, we need to be so rude.
I feel like I'm like, in a way, I like to teach, you know, these tools, how people can respond and show up, you know, and I don't, so I think it's great, you know, to treat it with
respect. I think
respect.
Everyone should use your tools. I mean, that's so genius, right? Because it's not that people don't love each other. It's not that a mother, you and your mother maybe don't love each other, but like the lack of understanding. And I do think that, you know, my own mother has never understood me. Not that, you know, we're even at a stage to do this kind of work together, but she's never understood me. And again, if I look at like Corey and her mother's no longer here, but had, you know, this wonderful relationship. I've never had that. And I think the way that I am is so, I don't know, upsetting to other people, or, you know, like unsettling to them, that then they just have to be shut off because it's like I'm like too much or whatever.
But you know,
like,
what? We, not everybody's for everybody.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're just not.
That's why I hang out with you, Tracy. You're not too much for me. But
I can be frustrating to her, though, in this career realm.
In the
though.
Career thing, I don't know how. I mean,
it's deeply maddening. It's like, I this mean, little, like, yeah. little
she's
thing
like,
in your
what
head.
Can I do? She's I mean, like, I can't.
I've literally,
I can't say anything.
I've been a career counselor. I have a background in this stuff. This is like what I do for a living. And I'm like, oh my gosh, just pick something at some point. Just try something. But, you know, but I have another thought that I'm thinking as you're talking, Kristen, that's really interesting. Is so I operate more from a sociological perspective than more of like a psychological or an individual perspective. And I think about like looking at this in the context of today, like someone with a human design profile in 2026, would that look different than how they acted in 1975? Like, you know, my daughter who has the ability to be on social media or do something, would that affect her, the way she shows up in the world, if compared to maybe me, if I had the exact same profile back in the 1970s or 80s? Is there any kind of thought about
You're getting into such a great concept of and things that I'm asking and looking at, you know. Mm-hmm. we another area that I'm exploring that I have not really even talked about much is the intersection of epigenetics and human design, and how, you know, I'm fascinated, and I want to explore a correlation and a deeper understanding of that. And within the human design system, we have different themes. You know, we have collective energy, we have individual energy, we have tribal energy. And, you know, we see, if you look at birth charts, this is a really cool thing to do. And during these times, like if we were to look at the birth charts of children being born presently and children that will be born in the next handful of years, we're going to start seeing a shift in the energies that present. So just a lot of people are generators. They fall as generators. A large percentage, about 70% of humanity, and we're here to work. I mean, that makes sense. Historically, you needed a workforce. You needed people to do things. We aren't going to need that as much in the future. So you're seeing a lot more like manifestors. That's an energy type being born, some reflectors, projectors. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, time will tell. But yeah, you can look back, back and forward. And I love to do that and to understand, you know, the overall themes of, you know, the human and how we are evolving. And we can see that, how we're evolving through these systems. Now, the more data we have to look at, the more clarifying it will be. But I'm very curious into what patterns we can see using these systems.
I love that. Keep programming stuff into your platform. I think that's fascinating, right? Like, you know, because Tracy talks about literally being in a plastic box when she was one. And I think about, you know, my childhood and what I could or couldn't do, or what was encouraged or not, or the messages I got, and which may have, you know, kind of, you know, curbed my energy. I mean, like, I'm a real, like, a dreamer, a go-getter. I make things happen. But, you know, as a girl growing up in the 70s and 80s, we were discouraged from doing that. And I think, does that make me more likely to want to do it now that I'm an adult? It's like all this pent-up stuff that's part of my wiring that now I'm like, you let me out of the gate. Now I'm ready to go, right? Like, I just think about.
We also have these these wounds, you know? We have wounds that this system can illuminate. So you can know, you know, what is my core wound? How is it coloring my life and how I show up? And then awareness is everything. Once you understand those things, then you can ask yourself and you can look and you can say, what domain is this really hurting me? Mm-hmm. And what is it that I need to push through or to understand or, you know, explore more deeply? So, you know, I haven't found a question that I've asked so far to not have some sort of answer or place to look within the human design system. And I'm pretty curious.
That's really cool. Wow. Well, Kristen, I know we've spent a lot of time with you today and, you know, you've already talked a lot about some of this stuff, but I wanted to give you some more space to add is, you know, what's on the horizon for you? You're building this platform. Maybe you can tell us about what kinds of things, services, like what our listeners might seek you out for, or are you at a place in which you can talk to clients or yeah. Like kind of what your next.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the space to say that. And this is where I am in my journey right now. So I feel very lit up by doing this work, by exploring, you know, human design and how, what my interpretation and twist is on it. And one of the things that I'm working on personally is letting my life unfold and being able to clearly see where I'm going, but not knowing how I'm getting there. And so, you know, I built Duolova, and that's just the first of what I want to build. And I want to evolve that work. Where I am right now is I want to work with people. I want to connect, you know, one-on-one with individuals, with people in relationships, parents, people in the workplace. I want to sit and have these conversations and really deep dive and help them on their journey using and developing the tools that I am building to make them better. And to really connect with people, because that is my gift, is sitting one-on-one with an individual and going through whatever terrain is in front of us. And I'm very comfortable navigating all of those places and staying grounded and helping people go on that journey if they need somebody to walk beside them. And so that's the work I feel very called to do right now. And that's where
and you could
am,
write
so.
A book called Letting My Life Unfold and how you can let yours unfold as well, using human design as a whatever tool, blah, blah, blah. I think that'd be great. You know,
I love to do interviews like, you know, an idea that I've had is to like either read an autobiography that somebody's written, a book that they've written about them, or just in conversation and really looking at their design and really telling the story through the lens of their design, just to show this is how this person has walked their design. These are their shadows.
Or telling your own story, because the thing is, like, what I'm sensing from you that, like, gives me a feeling of peace is that you're saying, like, okay, I'm not going to you know, compare and despair. I'm not going to like cry and scream. And like, I'm going to let this unfold and be. And I feel like if people would get off my back, I could too. Like, I would just feel like, okay, I can just breathe. I can just be here. Like, I've always felt like my purpose is just to be here and then to help people. And whether that comes from a career, whatever, like, but the pressure, the societal pressure. So I like what I, you're just, I feel from you is this like overwhelming sense of like acceptance of who you are and how life can be. And that it's kind of limitless and also not a rush. Like you don't seem rushed.
I've worked really hard to not be rushed. Mm-hmm. I have. Because that's, you're missing the beauty of the journey.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing it. And, you know, I want to share one little story and I'll be very succinct, but I think it was a meme or something I saw on social media. And this woman passes on. She's in, you know, the space talking to God and, you know, said, I prayed to you. I believed in you. I asked for your help and you never sent it. And essentially God says, I sent you this person to help, you know, to offer you a meal, or I sent you that and you just didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when we're moving so fast and we have this idea in our head, oh, I just need this, then we're not seeing the help that is offered to us, the people that are there for us, the ways that people show up for us or opportunities that come. If you're only looking for one thing, you're not going to see mm-hmm. anything else. So mm-hmm. that has been my biggest lesson, was trust that whatever I need is going to be drawn to me and I am going to have the opportunity to respond. And I don't need to know how I get there. I just need to trust that by being present every day, that if I listen to myself and my knowing, that I'm going to be led down this path and it's going to take me where I need to go. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to, that's been my wound to heal, is self-trust. And that is something I've worked very hard on. And I feel so much peace the more that I trust myself and my knowing, and easing into that has given me immense peace.
Mm-hmm. There's a,
okay,
there's
well,
that,
I there's look that, forward to her audiobook, Letting My Life Unfold. Okay,
with your super long title. I was going to say
that. Thanks for manifesting that for me.
Yeah,
there
see?
You go. There
God,
you go.
Came out here on this podcast.
I was just thinking of this really kind of interesting quote. It's, you know, people will say like one door closes, another one opens. And then, but the alternative to that is, you know, if you're too busy looking at the door, you don't notice all the open windows.
Right. You're so right. Yeah. And there are moments in my life, even within the past couple of years, that I'm like pounding on that door, like, yep. Let me in, let me go back, let me come in. And I yeah. I was missing it. I was yep. looking the wrong way. And when you can find peace with those endings and find excitement for the journey ahead, mm-hmm. That's a huge shift.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it's a sense of not just resolve, but it's a sense of peace. It's like, because banging on the door as someone who's a door banger is so incredibly exhausting. And not only do you yes. miss experiences, but it is just exhausting. And so it is nice
you
to
burn
say,
out.
Yeah. Let it unfold and see what comes. I mean, certainly have, you know, some direction, you know, or, mm-hmm. but at the same time, yeah, I love that. Kristen, what's a good way for our listeners to get a hold of you? Do you have a website I could recite on air so everybody has it, and I'll make sure to put it in the show notes?
Right now, Dualova is the best place to find me. Kristen at dualova.ai.
And it's
dualova.ai. And then, Kristen is Kristen.
And then it's just dualova.ai as your website?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fantastic.
Please find me. I would love to work with you.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure that that gets out to our listeners so that they can get a hold of you. It has been fabulous talking to you. I'm so glad we were able to have you on. What insight, right? I'm like, now I'm all about human design. I want to find out way more. And mm-hmm. so thank you.
Well, I know somebody.
You do? I know somebody now too. And Tammy gave us your phone number, so I can actually text you and say, help. Yeah. Anyways.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for being on. And for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.